In 2011, scientists discovered they had created a highly contagious and deadly form of H5N1, commonly called avian or bird flu. When the discovery was announced, debate erupted over whether the research was ethical, and fears the new strain could be used as a bioterrorism weapon. Now, the World Health Organization has weighed in on the issue. The WHO says it is deeply concerned about the potential consequences of the research that can make H5N1 more contagious among humans. At the same time, it says studies conducted under appropriate conditions must continue, so critical knowledge can be gained on reducing the risks posed by the virus. Assistant Director General Dr. Keiji Fukuda says debate continues to swirl, even though the findings have not yet been published or reviewed by the WHO.
They've received an extraordinary amount of attention, I think, both in the popular press and in the scientific world. A lot of the general issues raised by the papers are reasonably clear. For example, how do you weigh the risks of doing certain kind of research versus the benefits? What are the right procedures and processes that need to be in place? These are fairly fundamental issues for science in general and public health.
Laboratories in the Netherlands, Japan, and the United States developed the new strain of avian flu.
When you add the fact that you're dealing with the H5N1 virus, which is one of the most dangerous viruses around, then it adds that extra bit of fire to the discussion. And so we've been following this and monitoring it pretty closely.
Over the years, millions of birds, including poultry, have been killed to prevent the spread of the flu.
Now, there's a lot of influenza viruses which generally infect only birds, and this is one of them. But this one stands out because in addition to infecting birds, it also has the ability to infect a wide range of mammals, including humans. Now, it does not infect humans very often, but when it does, this virus has consistently been about 50 to 60% lethal. So it has an extraordinarily high killing rate.
Fukuda describes H5N1 as raising the biggest concern about causing a pandemic. He says that's why the recent research has raised so much attention.
While this particular situation is focusing a lot of attention on the risks of bioterrorism, dual-use technology, and those kinds of questions, which are important, we also want to make sure that we all take a balanced approach to this. So we have to make sure that research continues. We have to make sure that when research is done, the risks to people are as minimum as possible.
In May 2011, all World Health Organization member states adopted the Pandemic Influenza Preparedness Framework, or PIP for short. It's a guide for sharing virus samples and resulting research benefits. In other words, if a virus with the potential for causing a pandemic is found in a poor country, PIP helps ensure that country benefits when a vaccine or treatment is developed. That was not always the case in the past. Some developing nations lost out because the vaccines or drugs were just too expensive. The WHO Assistant Director General says such guidelines should be applied to research involving the new H5N1 strain.
In the overall scheme of things, when you look at public health and how we hopefully are better at protecting people, making sure that scientific research continues and addresses the critical issues out there, fills the gaps in knowledge, is absolutely essential. If we don't have that happen, then we're always going to be behind the curve, and we know that.
In the meantime, Fukuda says the natural forms of H5N1 continue to be found in a number of countries, such as Egypt and Indonesia. The new form of the virus is currently under the control of researchers in a few laboratories. One scientist who helped develop the new strain says if H5N1 can be made more transmissible in the lab, it can also happen in nature. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.